ABC News.
First thing is we only remember talking about the ASX. So when we're talking about gender equity at the top, this report focuses exclusively on the ASX, and it's been an excellent statistical analysis tracking this over time. So the reason things are so slow is complex. How often do ASX 200 companies change CEOs? Every 5 years, every 6 years, some of them every 9 and every 10 years. They're normally plotted. The big issue, which the report also identifies, is the fact that a lot of the CEOs are, of course, drawn from that next level down, so what's called that classic C-suite level. One positive thing that the report did actually note was that the number of CFOs had gone to 16%, which is not surprising given that there are a very large number of women across those roles. The issue is caution, risk. People get worried about appointing CEOs to the top of, you know, large organisations that have a very large shareholding base. So until we probably change the way we think about appointment processes, but also that we change, I think, the way that we move women through to line roles, and you change the structure of organisations too. Many, many, many women, and I've got thousands of them as part of WOB, look at it and go, you know what? I could do that. I could basically give up my life to be a C-suite executive. I could become the CEO. Or I could go off, found a company, sit on some boards, really have influence in different ways, and have a life too. And so I think until we get those things sorted out, it's going to be a real issue to move women forward. Annabel Crabb said it beautifully when she wrote her book called The Wife Drought, in which she pointed out that pretty much every senior executive has a wife, in inverted commas. And it's very difficult to get to the top and stay there without a very large network of support and without a whole lot of other critical factors. So it's complex, is the answer.
It is complex. I guess you say it's promising that we are seeing more women in these line roles. But, I mean, what else needs to be done to ensure that women are at the table long term? Is it an issue that perhaps quotas are needed?
You really couldn't quota for the CEO of an ASX 200 role. You can quota for boards, and interestingly, boards are outperforming in terms of the number of women on boards. The ASX 200s, well, the ASX 100s hit 30%. The ASX 200, I think, probably has two. So the number of women on boards, we've always said, and we've always pushed the fact that it should be 40% women, 40% men, 20% of and or either any other gender. So the number of women on boards is, in fact, outstripping by a long way in the ASX and across superannuation companies and across many of the other sort of major institutions, is outstripping the number of women in those sort of critical management roles. But I certainly don't think that you could start imposing a quota on ASX 200 or 500 or any other companies. What you can do, and what good companies, for example, BHP has actually done, and it's got half of its executive team are in fact female. Woodside's a great company where it looks at recruiting half of its graduate intake over the past 5 to 6 years has had to be female. So when you've got to set yourself up early. So leading companies, and they're not the ones that are actually mentioned as having no women, they have actually started to look at every single level, and they've set benchmarks within every single level, and they've had to meet those. And if you don't meet them, then there are consequences. So unless you're actually tracking performance, you're measuring it, you're looking at it, you're saying we need an executive team of half female so that we've actually got a 50-50 chance pretty much of recruiting, if we recruit internally, to the CEO position. So it takes a lot of focus, it takes attention to the metrics, but it takes it doing it at every single level. And a great, I think, thing has been the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, and the fact that we have the best set of gender data in the world, and every company with more than 100 employees is required to report, which really puts a focus on it. But there, of course, there are companies that just really don't care. And how do you make someone care? It's an interesting question.
Without having to want to name and shame, but just looking through this list of these 17 companies that don't have a single woman on their executive leadership team, there's some pretty big names on this.
There are, and yet one or two of them have some quite senior women on boards that have been appointed recently, and I expect there may be a little bit of movement there, because a couple of them I know, because a couple of them have had WAB members put on them, have. I think there will be questions asked, and until you actually get the percentage of women on boards to around that 30-40%, then the question starts to be asked back through, have you really looked as broadly as you can to recruit a CEO, or are you recruiting in the image of the last one? And while ever you go for a risk-averse process where you quite often get recruiters, you quite often get headhunters, you quite often get the nominations committee, quite often people are recruiting in a way that they're looking in a mirror, and so they're actually looking to what they had as opposed to what they might have. And so I think when you get people on the board who can start to make that intervention, get themselves on the nominations committee and say, hang on a moment, there are no women on this list and we're a retail company. Are you really sure that that's the right thing? How about you go out and you produce us a list, and at least half of them have to be female. And you know the other thing? We don't want to know the other half. And so, yeah, and until you get that type of pushback, people tend to be quite, I suppose, conservative, I think you would say, about those appointment processes.
ABC News.